So we're here at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And you remember that the Mishnah established that Orli Arbas are Vodkim as Achomets Lior HaNer, establishing the mitzvah Bedikas Chomets as a mitzvah Derabbanan. And there's a machlokis in the Gemara apparently whether Or means Yom or Lila. And the Gemara quoted a whole list of different psukim to try to prove one way or the other whether Or is Yom or Or is Lila. So we're up to the last two lines on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. That's what we got up to. Meisvei. The Gemara now is going to try to prove what the word Or means based on a pasuk in Iyov. The pasuk in Iyov reads as follows: We are Yakum Rotseach, Yiktol, Yiktol Ani V'Evyon, Uvalaylo Yehei Kiganov. Which means that we're talking about a burglar, and a burglar, we assume, is willing to kill his victim, meaning he's an armed robber. And if it's in the day, he's ready and poised, so to speak, to kill the balabais, the owner of the house, in order to burglarize the house. Balayla, at nighttime, he doesn't have to do that, meaning he's not out there necessarily to kill the balabais, he's only out there to steal, and if he has to achieve his goal by killing someone, he'll kill someone. But if he doesn't have to achieve that goal, then Yehei Kaganov. Then he becomes like a ganav. A ganav is someone who, as opposed to a gazlan, he does it stealthily, you know, they're in secret. So he'll break into someone's house and burglarize it in the middle of the night. And he hopes that he'll be covered by darkness, the mantle of darkness, and he won't be discovered. And he'll be able to steal whatever he has to steal without having to confront the balabais. So again, at the beginning of this pasuk, the word or appears. And at the end of the pasuk, the word Lila appears. So it would seem that the word Or is not a reference to Lila, but rather to Yom. So if we turn to Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to say the following: Hamidika Amar Balila Yekaganov. If we focus on the contrast between the Sefer, this pasuk, and its Reisha, the Sefer is talking about Lila. Then the opposite is true in the case of the Reisha, which says Laor Yakum Rotzeach. That Laor Yakum Rotzeach is a reference to Yom. Is Alma, we see clearly that R is Yom, and that would support the Shita of Rav Huna, who said Nagi, which means that the word R in our Mishnah referring to Bikas Chometz is R. So we see clearly from a pasuk in Iyov that the word R refers to Boker, Alma, R Yomamahu. So we see clearly that R is a reference to day. So now the Gemara rejects this proof. Hasam, the Gemara says that the meaning of the R and the Lila here is not a contrast between day and night. It's not a material, or shall we say, a literal contrast in the physical world, but rather it's a mushal. It should be understood conceptually. There's something called R, which means clarity and certainty, and there's something called Lila, which means ambiguity. And this is what the pasuk wants to convey to us. The issue here in this pasuk is whether or not this burglar is in the category of what we call ein lo damim. Right? You're familiar with this. In the parasha of Abba b'machteres, we have something called ein lo damim. Right? And ein lo damim means that his life is worthless. He's considered a rotzeach, even though. Here's the Chiddush of the Torah. Even though at this particular moment in time he's not yet a rotzeach, he's not shooting a gun at anybody, but since the balabais may confront him, and in fact the balabais has a right to confront him, he has a right to protect his possessions, and in such a case the burglar, the Bava Machteres, is now going to endanger the life of the balabais because he's so eager to achieve his goal, that he's even willing to kill the Baal HaBayis in order to do so, and that's why he came armed, in that sense, then ein lo damim. He's not worth anything. In other words, his life is not to be protected by the law. He loses his protection of the law. Normally a person is protected by the law. Here he's not protected by the law. His dam, his blood, meaning his life, is worthless. As far as we're concerned, he's considered a baba machteres, and a baba machteres can be put to death. We're going to soon see that it can be put to death not only by the Baal HaBayis himself, but by anyone. Anyone who sees that this person is an armed burglar and he's coming, breaking into someone's house, or during the daytime he's endangering someone's life, then we have the principle of a rodef, which means that anyone is allowed to kill him.
Is he armed?
Yeah, he's armed. He's armed, yeah. Oh, so let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi has a whole long presentation. Hachi ka'amar. This is where the Gemara reinterprets this pasuk in Iyuv. And it says the following. So just by way of introduction, the difference here between Yom and Laila, between Or, as it were, in the Reisha, which means clarity and absolute certainty, and the Sefer, which is Laila, which means ambiguity and we're uncertain, is as to whether or not we have a right, and maybe even an obligation, to protect the possessions, the property of the Baal HaBayis, even at the expense of killing the Baba Machteres. And it all depends upon whether it's Or, or whether it's Laila. Or meaning clarity and certainty, and Laila meaning ambiguity. In the end of the pasuk, it says, "Ubalaila yehei kiganov." Kiganov means a person who is not endangering your life. So what the pasuk is telling you is that if there's ambiguity, and we're not sure about X, we'll get to X and just then clarify that in a minute, then treat him like a ganov, which means yeshlodom, means you're not allowed to take his life. And Rashi explains, Masha nosna lecha Torah rishus al habobim achteres lahargo. In the parasha, in Mishpatim, when the Torah says you're allowed to destroy a baba machteres, you're allowed to just completely kill him. Kiritziv, as the Torah says, im b'machteres imotze aganav ahuka meis ein lo damim, that if you kill the baba machteres, then his life is worthless, meaning he has no claim to the defense, the law doesn't protect his life. What that means is, im bar lecha hadavar, these are the words you should underline in Rashi, im bar lecha hadavar ki ar, if it's absolutely clear to you, like the light of day. So again, as we said before, the ar here is not a reference to day, but rather to clarity. Shehu bal iske nefashos, it means that he's ready to kill you. Okay, now let's take a pause at this point. How in heaven's tarnation are you going to figure out whether or not this guy is ready to kill you or not? You know, if you're going to ask him and say, buddy, are you ready to kill me? By that time, you know, he's going to knock your block. There's no possibility of saying, sir, you know, good morning, sir, you know, with all the etiquette, and say to him, well, are you...
He has a weapon, it's clear.
Oh, so the Gemara says, well, again, you know, Asha, you may know the answer to the Gemara, but right now the Gemara is really, and Rashi is really perplexed by this, because if the Torah is saying that it's not that you assume guilty until proven innocent, meaning that anyone who, in this situation of Baba Machteres, is assumed to be a Bala Hargacha, meaning he's ready to kill you, that would have been okay. You know, the Gemara could have said, you know, let's assume that he's coming to kill you. But Rashi has a problem, because the Torah in this pasuk in Iyov seems to be teaching me just the opposite, that he's, so to speak, innocent until proven guilty. Why? Because what's Laila? Does Laila mean he definitely is not going to kill you? What does Laila mean?
Not sure.
Ambiguity. We don't know. And when does the Torah give you the green light and permission to kill him? When do we apply the principle of ein lo damim?
Daytime.
It's got to be daytime, which means absolute certainty. This undermines and torpedoes our whole understanding, and you're going to see how Rashi is going to try to wiggle his way out of this. But at first glance, this whole concept of biar, how does the pasuk say, liar yakum rotzeach, that it's only Yochum Rotzech, if it's R, only if there's something that proves to you beyond the shadow of a doubt that he's coming to kill you. And, you know, it seems like you're almost reducing the whole parasha of Bava Materes and Ein Lo Dom into a null set, because how in heaven's tarnation are you going to come to prove that he's definitely there to kill you? I mean, I would have said that the Torah is saying he's guilty until proven innocent. That's, I can assume that he's coming to kill you. The man is an armed robber breaking through the Machteris in the middle of the night. Let's not play games over here. Let's not take any chances. No, the Gemara says you don't have a right to kill him. The Torah is telling you permission to kill him is conditional on the fact that it's R. It's got to be certain. So Rashi has a very unique solution to this problem. Rashi says, now it's almost laughable if you read the Rashi at first glance. Rashi is in bar lecha adavar ki arshu balis kein nefashos. If it's absolutely clear to you, you have to be 100% certain that he's coming to kill you, says Rashi, tahainu kolov. And that's everyone. Do you see what Rashi does? Now, we thought that fakir, like 99% of the people, you don't know exactly whether this burglar is going to kill you or not. And now the Torah is saying, you know, in that 1% of a chance, I don't know exactly how you get to achieve that goal of fitting into that 1%, where you absolutely are sure that he's coming to kill you, then you're allowed to kill him. Which would just, as I said before, undermine the whole parasha of Bava Materes and Ein Lo Domin. So Rashi says, you know what? Clarity can be checked off. You can check off the clear box, the certainty box, for kol adam. So now Rashi's turning the table.
What does it mean for all people?
All people. Anyone who comes in, he's a burglar, kill him. He's there, he's flawless, state of fashions. Oh, so what did the Torah mean? You know, what's that case in which the Torah says you have to be absolutely clear? And in the absence of clarity, it's Laila, then yeah, lecha kigano. Says Rashi, chutz. There's only one exception. It's hard even to imagine this, but Av Alaben. Imagine a father is so desperate for money that he breaks into his own son's house. You know, today we live in the world of addiction, you know, of drug addiction. So maybe, you know, again, if you want to give this a contemporary spin, you could say the father's a drug addict, and Nebuch, and the only way he could survive this, he needs a shot of cocaine, is by breaking into his own son's house and stealing, you know, I don't know, whatever he's stealing there, maybe breaking into his safe. I don't know what he's doing to his son. Now, I'm going to skip the next two words. Please underline them, because I want to come back to them. Kayotze bo. Okay, that throws a whole monkey wrench into this Rashi. But if you skip those words, kayotze bo, let's go back to Ov al HaBen. Shemakir bo shu Ov al Mi'ot. Again, this is a funny kind of love relationship. When a father loves his son Ma'od, Rashi says, and he goes ahead and he breaks into his son's house. That's the only case of Lila. That's the case where, according to Eov, Balila Yia Keganov, treat him as a Ganov. Don't take his life. There's no Allah Ein Lo Dom. Chutz mi Aval HaBen. Shemakir bo shu Ov HaMa'od. Like the Torah is revealing some sort of deep psychological insight here, that no matter how desperate the father is, he would never forbid, heaven forbid, take his son's life. Aval Shar Kol Adam. Again, the emphasis on the word Kol Adam, meaning 99.999% of the cases. And here Rashi goes through the whole rigmarole of why it is that we assume that a burglar is coming to kill you. And Rashi says the following: Im hayabal hamomen omed kinegdo. What would be if the owner of the house would confront this Bava Machteres Lahatzel Mamono, Lahatzel Mimenu Mamono? Is then we can assume, and this is clarity like day, Ze Omed Olav Lahargo. This guy would kill him. Again, we're not going to wait until this happens. We don't even have to wait until the Baal HaMamon is Omed Kenegdo. But the theoretical possibility, it's almost as if the Torah grants a legal right to the Baal HaMamon to be Omei Kenegdo. He doesn't have to, you know, some people Nebuch, I mean, I don't want to talk about it, but you know, if they hear a burglar coming in, they'll turn over to the other side and make believe they're sleeping. You know, who wants to confront a burglar? You know what I mean? But a person has a right to confront a burglar. He doesn't have to turn over in his bed and go to sleep and put earplugs in and make believe he doesn't know that somebody is burglarizing him. He doesn't have to do that. He's allowed to be omen kenegdo. So Rashi's saying that theoretical possibility or right, that legal right that he has to be omen kenegdo, therefore he's a rotzeach. Again, right now he's not a rotzeach. But since the Baal HaBayis could, in theory, be omen kenegdo to confront him, and in such an event we assume with clarity that this Baba Martes will kill him, is nitan rishus l'chol hakodem, whoever gets there first, lahatzil es Baal HaMamon, Benafsho shel Baba Machteres. Again, when Rashi uses the word lahatzil to save the owner of the house, you have to be very, very careful about that. Right now, we're not necessarily saving the. If it could very well be that if the Baal HaBayis would lock himself up in a room, his life would never be in danger. So, what does Rashi mean lahatzil? That anyone could come along and take the initiative, kill the Baba Machteres in order to save the Baal HaMamon? And Rashi answers, because since the Baal HaMamon has the right to confront him and protect his property, therefore we already consider the Torah's Chiddush is, this is not a classical case of a rodef. The classical case of a rodef of Eilo Domim is where Reuven's running after Shimon with a knife, and he's clearly, and he declares that I'm trying to kill him, and then we're allowed to snuff out Reuven. But here's a case which the Torah's Machash, a whole new parasha called Baba Machteres, it's not a classical rodef. He's not at this point endangering anyone's life, but we consider him as if he's a rotzeach. Why does the Torah give him a... Because potentially he might be a rotzeach. Once he illegally does this act, in which it could lead down the line to a situation where he's a rotzeach, he's already considered a rotzeach. And Rashi says, for kol adam, we have absolute clarity. And kol kodem, etc., etc., is ein lo dam. Ubalayla. So what is balayla? In mesafka loch kilayla, you have a doubt like nighttime. Kigon sha'odam o'avecha, a person who loves you. Shehu avicha, it's your father. V'rachmav olecha. V'im ha'yisa omed kenegdo, if you would exercise your right to confront him and to protect your property. V'atzav moncha eino hargecha. The Torah is telling you he would not come and kill you. And therefore, in such a case, what does the son do? The son who's the Baal HaMamon, Yehi Beinecha, he should look at his father, Kegadav, as if he's just simply a thief, Vilonita Lahargo, and he doesn't come under the principle of Bav Machteres, and Ein Lo Damim. The Hachi Amrina B'Sanhedrin, Rashi says, how do I know this? You know, Rashi has this whole fantastical, amazing insight into psychology and so forth. So where, who state does? It doesn't say this anymore. Now here, Avosa, I find a little bit of a contradiction in Rashi. L'chora. Why? Because remember I told you to skip two words. If you go back to the two words that I told you to skip, it says v'kayotze bo, which sounds like etc. or anything similar. At the end of the Rashi, Rashi says that im mesafka l'cha kilayla kigon. Okay, so right now, if I would have stopped here, kigon sha'adam o'avecha, maybe Rashi means I'll give you one example. Kigon means I'll give you an example. But then he says shehu avicha. So how do we interpret those words shehu avicha? Does Rashi mean he's your biological father, or Rashi's using the term avicha as a conceptual class of people who fit into o'avecha? But again, what is o'avecha, and what is kayotze bo? In other words, if you're talking about one case that's absolutely clear, and now I can determine and I can judge what's going to happen when there's a Bav Machteres, can I kill him? Can I not kill him? So if you're telling me it's only Aval Aben, then I have my clear cut measure, my clear cut yardstick. I know exactly when to apply the principle of Lila. If it's Aval Aben, and when to apply the principle of R, then it's clarity. But once Rashi says Kayotze Bo, and Rashi says Kigon Shehu O Havecha, and then Rashi says Shu Avicha, then it becomes a little blurry. You know, who fit? Is it that we've been friends for the last 10 years? Is that we were brought up in school together? You know, we were buddies, and then when we took senior life saving, you know, we were buddies. I mean, what constitutes Avicha? That becomes a bit unclear. Tosis, by the way, seems to accept Rashi hook, line, and sinker. Tosis on the top of Beis on the base says, Omer Riva Riva, the high kra, this pasuk is referring to Av Ala Ben Mairi. That's the case. And the chiddush of the pasuk is that you need R. What do you mean you need R? Because mistam, distam, stam av, marachim ala ben. Again, you know, we're still playing a little bit here of Russian roulette. I mean, it's always possible that this is a fluke case where even the father would kill, you know, the father would even kill his own son. I don't know. But stam, Tosfos says, in most cases, we assume, until we know otherwise, that the father would not kill his son. Lo yargenu im yamod kenegdo la'atzel b'mon. L'kach lo nitar la'atzel b'nafsho. El kshodeh b'borur, unless he knows with absolute clarity that his father is going to kill him. Shalahargo ba. So in other words, what we're saying here is that Tosfos doesn't even give us a little bit of leg room here to expand with Rashi's kayotze bo, that maybe there are other people who would fit into this category. Yeah, Michael.
Initially, I thought that this meant that if you're lying asleep and you hear a burglar, right, you have the right to kill him. But that is not
only you, but everybody.
That's not true.
Well, with one exception.
No.
So once you know it's not your father.
Exactly. So right. How do you know that? So before you can't just kill him, you've got to first of all identify him. So when you turn on the light and look and say, oh...
Right, if you have a camera, you know, a security camera, that would be good. But right, you don't have a security camera. So how do you know it's not your father?
Exactly. You haven't got the right to kill him. You've got to wait until...
I would say the following, Michael. In this case, we have a principle called... this kol kavur kemetz al mechzedami. You're familiar with that? And achirabim lahatos, which means called the parish meruba parish. So your question is the following: how do we judge this burglar? Since we have a possibility that maybe, you know, underneath the mask it's his father, do we have a right to say, well, 99.999% and therefore called the parish meruba parish? I don't know where he came from, or do I have a right? Or do I have to say, well, let me look at this suffix in front of me? So, like, for example, you find a piece of meat. If you are trying to figure out where the meat came from, then you're allowed to apply the principle of rov. If, on the other hand, you want to know which store the meat came out of, meaning that you walked into a store, you don't remember if you were buying for your dog and you bought the veil at half price, so you went to the kosher butchery and you paid twice the price for your own table, so you just simply don't remember which store you went into, so then that's called kol kavur kemetzal mechzedami. Now, whenever the suffix is nolad b'makom kvius, meaning the suffix is on something that's stationary in its place, then we have to apply the principle kol kavur, and then you'd be right. How could I kill this guy? Maybe it's my fault. If, on the other hand, we're going to say that the suffix is not whether or not this person in front of me is my fault, but rather where did this person come from? So that's what you have to know. I mean, for that, you really have to get into, you know, yeah, it's in a few places. Yeah, it's very sensitive to know. I'm going to assume here that we're going to apply the principle of rov. I don't know if I'm right or not, but we can check that out in the posting.
So you can kill him without a knife?
I think so. I think you have to be choshish that maybe he's that one case.
Okay.
If, on the other hand, you add the rashi of kayotze bo, then it gets really complicated. Because how wide? Yeah, exactly.
This whole discussion of or is, does or mean literally daytime, or does it mean like the clarity of day?
Exactly.
So are we saying, let's say,
clarity of day.
If it's midnight and pitch black, but I'm clear of the day of the situation, then that the or means clarity.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Okay. And in truth, the burglar comes at night, almost inevitable. Alright, so look, at this point, we still don't know what the word R means, because even though we thought the word R clearly by contrast to the Sefer of Lila meant Yom and Boker, but no, the word R could even be Lila, as you pointed out. It's just the clarity of the circumstances. Mesve. Okay. Now, at this point, we're looking into Tehillim. And the Pasuk in Tehillim says the following. Now I'm going to read the whole pasuk because there are a few words in the pasuk left out in our Gemara, and it says the following. But this is also, I'm sorry, did I say Tehillim? If I said Tehillim, I stand corrected, because that's going to be the next Gemara. I skipped the Gemara. We're here still in Iyov. So what does it say in Iyov? You know, Iyov is kind of cursing the day he's born. You know, we can't even imagine Iyov suffering. So it says the following. Yechshechu kochvei nishpo yikav lo'or v'ayin val yireh bi'afape shochar. So notice that we have the word or in this pasuk, and we also have the words kochvei nishpo, which are some sort of stars. Now generally speaking, the stars come out obviously at night, so therefore if the word "or" here is written, then what is it? Is he describing the kochvei nishpo, or is he saying yikav la'or, meaning yikav miloshen tikva? Rashi, if you take a look, says kochvei nishpo is kochvei lelo, so they're clearly the stars of the night. But then the pasuk says yikavu li'or, and it means, says Rashi, yitzapel liyom. In other words, someone who's going through the anguish of Lila symbolically referring to the period of despair, he's waiting in anticipation for Or, for daytime. And daytime represents here a better fortune. So at this point, Iyov is saying that I'm waiting, I'm anticipating for Or, the Ayin. The Ayin means that it's not coming. I simply remain in this state of anguish. And therefore he curses himself. And he says, Val yira biafape shachar. He's talking about himself in third person. And he's saying that I'll never get to see the aura of daytime. You know, so I'm stuck in this situation of kochvei nishpo of Lila. So Gemara says to find midakom or yikavli or v'ayin, since he said that he's waiting, anticipating for day, and it's not coming, and then he cursed himself. He says he'll never experience day. Alma, we see that or yimama, who once again a proof for Rav Huna that or means yimama. The Gemara says no. Hasam, let's look at the pasuk in its broader context. Melat hu dekolayit le'iov lemazole. Iov is cursing his own mazel. Mazel is his destiny, so to speak. Omar. And this is the formulation, this is the meaning of his curse. Ra'ua means let it be the raton, the litzpe, hai gavra, linahora, velo lishkeche. That his mazel should become so dark that he will not see daylight. Let's see Rashi. Rashi tries to clarify this. Rashi says, just one second, Linahora. Yeah. We'll put one finger on the Gemara, one finger on Rashi. Linahora, Rashi says, Lidovar Hameir. In other words, the word or here in this pasuk, when he says Yikavu la'or, is not to be taken literally as referring to the material, this physical daytime, but rather it's again a symbolic representation of Dovar HaMeir, of that which gives light. Rashi says the following, Lo Shiyesh Shom Hayom Or. Not that it means he'll see the daylight, V'lo Ka'amar Yikavu Liyom El Yikavu SheYair. He's hoping for some sort of light and the end, you know, we call it the light at the end of the tunnel, at the end of darkness, the ayin, and it won't come. The omer, and now Iyov takes almost a curse. He puts upon himself a curse. Just one second. The next Rashi is actually not relevant to us. But basically he's saying that he won't live until to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So the light here, again, symbolically represents the end of his anguish, but it doesn't it doesn't mean literally daytime. Basically, now we get to the pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim says the following: Va'omar achoshech yishufeni v'layla or ba'adeni. So the Gemara says the following: that David HaMelech is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a mashal because of all the great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon David. Va'omar, says David, I will declare, Ach Choshech Yishufeni, even though I am even though I am enveloped by darkness, because I'm a nirdav, and when I use the word nirdav, I mean David HaMelech's life is basically one chain of redifos. You know, it's whether it's Shaul HaMelech who's rodefim, where the plishtim are trying to kill him, whether it's Avshalom, his own son. I mean, basically, it's David HaMelech's life is one chain of redifos. And therefore, David declares that even though I go through this time period of Choshech, Yishufeni means it envelops me. Wherever I turn, all I see is Choshech. But now, Laila or Ba'adeni. The Laila is converted into Or. And the Gemara thinks that the word Or here in this context means daytime. Because again, if you're converting Laila into Or, then Laila means you're converting it into Boker, and it means that the word Or here means Boker. Alma Or Yumamahu. Or means daytime. So Gemara says, Hasam, no, that's not what David HaMelech is saying. He doesn't mean Or Ba'adeni, meaning Yom, that it should be Yom Yumama. But Hachkirah David Ani Amarti, Ach Choshep Yishufeni Li Olam Haba. You know, David is really the paradigm, as we all know, of a Baal Tshuva. Not a Baal Tshuva the way we use that term today, you know, but Baal Tshuva in the sense that he sinned and he dedicates the rest of his life to doing Tshuva. So David HaMelech declares that because of my sin, then Choshep Yishufeni, I am surrounded by darkness. And what he means to say when he says that Laila or Ba'adeni, Laila or Ba'adeni means the Or of Olam Abba. So it seems that because of his chait, not only is he in a state of Choshech, in which he's enveloped by darkness, but moreover, even Olam Abba seems to be totally bleak, meaning I'm excluded. But then he says, Achshav, now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already revealed to me that he forgave me, okay, Rashi doesn't tell us exactly where that is, but maybe we'll figure that out, is now HaOlam HaZeh Shudome L'Laila Or Ba'adeni, that even in this world I experience Or. So in other words, initially when I was guilty of sin and God did not forgive me, but rather I was subject to harsh punishment at that time, then Choshech Yishufeni and Laila Or Ba'adeni, even the Or of Olam Abba is dark for me, but now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mochel me, then even this world, which is considered like Laila, is Or Ba'adeni. Question is how you read this into the pasuk. Let's see in Rashi.
How does the Gemara know it means?
Yeah, let's see if Rashi will help read this into the Gemara. Rashi says the following: V'omar sovra yisi be'onyi shayisi nirdof, as long as I was suffering from redifos, ach bechoshech ze amus, I'm going to eventually die in this darkness. V'hu yishufeni, and it'll completely surround me. V'hu yachshech tamid olai, I'll always be in a state of darkness. Lashon neshef. Neshef means laila, which is the darkness of night. For laila v'choshech shayisi shoribo nasa or ba'adeni etzli. Gabi laila shayach lemeimer yom alma hochi kamer david al laila nasa li yom. So it seems like David is saying that after the redemption, after the forgiveness, Lila becomes Yom. So Gemara says no. Ani amarti. Let's see how the Gemara reinterprets this. Mipnei chatoi sha'af min olam haba etored. Etored means I'll be excluded even from all. V'achshav shemachali al oso avon af min olam hazeh shayisi shori boy b'choshech u'becherpa heir ba'adi ba'adeni. In other words, in the Hava meaning, the Gemara seems to have understood that David HaMelech is in the state of being a nirdaf, and all his descriptions here are about darkness, and he's saying that even the R is Laila Ba'adeni, even the R meaning Olam Abba is completely dark for me. So in the Hava meaning, the Gemara thinks that David is in the state of pre-Machila. You know, he's suffering from Avon. He's a Nirdaf. And David is decrying the fact that he doesn't even see any light at the end of the tunnel. Even Olam Abba, which is like Yom, is also dark for me. But now the Gemara says, no. Ani Amarti. That David HaMelech is saying that, on the contrary, since Hashem was mochel me, Achshav shemochel li alos ha'avon, is now even Olam Hazeh, which is Domel Lalila, is Ar Ba'adeni. And the word Ar here doesn't mean boker, but it means the absence of anguish and darkness. David HaMelech is being spared and being saved from being a nirdof. Ubecherpa heir Ba'adeni. And now Hashem is removing humiliation from me. Shodio Hadia Kadosh Baruch Hu l'sonei David v'imei Shlomo shemachal l'David. So Rashi refers to an agadah to Masechta Moed Katan that God notifies the enemies of David that he was mochel, that he with a capital H was mochel David. Shebikesh lahachnis oro lebeis Kodesh Kadoshim v'davku shiorim zebazet. Like, this is that capital in Tillim, I forget the number, I think it's 91, don't hold me to it, where David HaMelech says, Si'ushi Aram Rasheichem, they were about to bring the Aron into the Kodesh Kadoshim. This at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and the Aron was Dovek Sharam Zebazen, and the Baskol came out to notify that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mochel, and eventually they were able to place the Aron the Luchas Abris into the Aron, which has the Luchas Abris, into the Kodesh Kadosh.
How do we know, you say the Havamani is, it means Chashek, and the Maskana means it's light, but
well wait a minute, let me just clarify one thing. In the Havamina, what we thought was that the word R is referring to daytime. How do I see that? Because the Gemara says that, let me go over it one more time, that when it says in the Pasuk V'layla or ba'adeni, correct? It means that
the or is dark, that the night, the or is it's
How is the Gemara in the Hav meaning learning V'layla or ba'adeni? Just one second, let's see the Rashi one more time. Nefach li alayla la'or Mima shekina sahefet layla v'shem or Alma or yumama. Again, in the Hav meaning, let me go over this one more time. The Gemara thinks that what? That the Lila is converted into R, and R means Yom.
It means light, no?
Well, it says Alma or Yamamahu, so I'm trying to figure out what the Gemara means by Alma or Yamamahu.
I thought to him when you explained it the first time that his enemies are searching for him.
They're trying to hunt him down.
Right, and even at night time, when you would think they couldn't find him, it's as though it's R, it's as though it's daytime. That's what I thought it meant. And therefore, he's not saved even at night time.
So it's not the way I said it before. In other words, even in the Hava Mina, before the Gemara says, Hosam Hochi Kama David Ani Amarti, David is praising Hashem that the Laila became Or Ba'adeni. I'm happy about that because I didn't understand how the Gemara could have said that the Laila itself, that the Or itself is like Laila. So no, the Gemara is not saying that the Or is like Laila, but rather that the Laila is becoming Or.
Correct.
So it's a positive thanksgiving to Hashem.
Not in Havana.
No?
Because
it says Laila Or Ba'adeni.
His enemies are pursuing him, so that even at night time, as though it's daytime, they can still pursue him.
Right.
So that's a bad thing. The Or is still light in his day.
Because if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, see, the two Rashis here, there's one the Omer, and that I think is the Havmin, and then the Ani Amarti is the Maskana. So before you get to the Maskana, he says, about three lines up, before the end of that Rashi, Dima Maskel the Omer, he says, the Laila, the Choshech Shaisi Sharibo, Nasa Or Ba'adeni Yetzli, which I interpret to mean that even in the Havamim, the Gemara understood that David was praising Hashem and giving him thanksgiving.
Why would he want it to be light at during the night?
In other words, that David HaMelech is thanking Hashem for terminating this period of time in which he's a Nirdav. Right? In other words, initially when David was a Nirdav, he felt total despair. He thought he was going to die. He was going to be hunted down. But then he says, V'laila or ba'adeni, that Laila v'choshek, again I'm emphasizing that one line in Rashi, but Laila v'choshek shayisi sharibo nasa or ba'adeni etzli, which sounds to me like he's saying the termination of Laila. Well, let's just see if I can substantiate that with the maskana. So again, if Laila is turning into or, that means that the opposite of Laila is yom, that means that the word or is yom.
Yeah.
So let's see how the Gemara rejects this. Hosam says the Gemara hachi kama david. Ani amarti, ach choshek yishufeni. And now the Gemara introduces olam abba. Ah, I see. So the turnaround here, the maskonas haGemara is that the word or here is a reference to olam abba. So it's to be taken symbolically. It's not the contrast to Laila. But when he says it, Laila or ba'adeni, let's see Rashi again. Ani amarti mnei chata'ai or chet'i sha'af mino olam haba etored. And that means that, if I understand correctly, Rashi's saying that the or here is a mashal for olam haba. And he's saying that choshech yishufeni refers to a darkness that even envelops olam haba. Aval Akshav, now David Amel says, we have to figure out where to put this into the pasuk. So that's again, that is Ach Choshek Yishufeni V'Laila Or Ba'adeni, which means that it works like this. So Ach Choshek Yishufeni, the word Choshek itself is referring to the darkness of Olam Haba. And the reason why he calls it Choshech is because Olam Haba is Yom, is like daylight. And Choshech Yishufeni, the darkness that envelops me, says the Omech, is so profound that it even dims the bright light of Olam Haba. That's as far as the first part of the pasuk. Ach Choshech Yishufeni. Now we get to the next part of the next part of the pasuk. Laila arba adei, which that's the more positive expression of thanks. So let's go back to Rashi. Achshav shemachali al oso avon is af min olam hazeh. Because again, the Gemara says achshav olam hazeh, even olam hazeh sheisi shari by bechoshek ubecherpa heir ba'adeni. So the end of the pasuk, which says the Laila or Ba'adeni, means that even Olam Hazeh, which is called Laila, became Or. And Rashi is going to explain that's because David HaMelech's enemies cannot touch him because Hashem was Mochel him. So the difference between the Havamin and the Maskana is that whereas the Havamin and the Gemara thought that Laila was referring to was, just one second, that Laila, so again, at this point we're not introducing any sort of symbolism to Laila and Or. We're taking Laila and Or literally. So it means that the Laila became Or. Again, the thrust of the pasuk I think still is, as we saw in Rashi, that Hashem converted night into day. But that would prove that Or means day. So the Gemara is saying no, night and day here are symbolic terms that refer to Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is compared to Yom, and that's what it means, Or. And David HaMelech is bemoaning the fact that the Choshech Yishufeni means that Olam Haba for me is a dim, distant, you know, star. It's not something that I can't reach out to, and I don't even have a before Hashem was mochel me. Even Olam Haba is dark for me. It's not going to be a place where, well, I'll be allowed to enter. And then the end of the pasuk, which mentions Or. So the first part of the pasuk is Ach Choshech Yishufeni before the Mechila of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that even that Choshech here is a symbolic term that represents Olam Haba. Just one second. Ach Choshech Yishufeni. Ani Amarti Ach Choshech Yishufeni. So how is the Gemara saying we olam haba should dove liyom, and then laila? Where in the pasuk is this le olam haba should dove liyom? Ach choshech yishufeni, the laila or ba'adeni. Laila is referring to olam hazeh, and it's or ba'adeni. See, there's one piece of the puzzle here that's missing. It says Ach Choshech Yishufeni, and that's referring to the Choshech of Olam Haba. But where is Olam Haba mentioned in the first part? Because then he says Laila Or Ba'adeni. Laila is a reference to Olam Hazeh, and it became Or. So where is Olam Haba indicated here? Ach Choshech Yishufeni. Ani Amarti Ach Choshech Yishufeni is Li Olam Haba. Oh, just one second. I see what he's saying. Oh, I see what he's saying. In other words, Olam Haba is not mentioned in this pasuk, but David is saying, "I am so surrounded and enveloped by Choshech." It means I'll never get to experience light, and light or daytime is a symbolic representation or a secret password for Olam Haba. So when David Mel says Ach Choshech Yishufeni, it means I'm surrounded by darkness even as far as Olam Haba is concerned. Yeah. Now the Gemara says the following, that the Sefer of the Pasuk is post Mechila, that's V'layla Or Ba'adeni, that's a reference to Olam Hazeh, and Olam Hazeh becomes Or. Okay, that's what we have.
So really the only difference is in the Havamina, Or means literally day, and in the Maskana, Or means the light of the Lord's coming. But in both cases, it means light or day. It doesn't mean darkness.
Right. No. But the question is, are we talking about something literal, physical, okay, or are we talking about something symbolic?
But either way, it doesn't mean night.
Right. It doesn't mean night. It's a night here in this pasuk is a reference to Olam Hazeh.
Yeah.
And Or is a reference to Olam Haba. So in the Havamina, the Gemara thought it should be taken literally, and Or is the opposite of Laila, means it's Yom. And the Gemara is saying no, that when David HaMelech was speaking about Choshech, he was talking about the fact that he's suffering the opposite of Olam Haba, meaning he's being excluded from Olam Haba. That's the Choshech. And then David HaMelech says, "V'layla ar ba'adeni," that even Olam HaZeh was given to me as ar, as a positive experience. Okay, let's go on. Meisvei. Now we have a machlokas tanoim about how many times you have to destroy your chametz. Rav Yehuda Omer, bodkim arle arbasar. So the first time that we have to check for chametz in order to destroy it is the night going into arbas. So this is going to prove that ar means night. And then we have to check a second time, be arbasar shachris. Now, it's not clear to me whether Rabbi Yehuda requires multiple bedikos, because maybe in the middle some chametz got messed up, or Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a fallback position, that if there was no bedika, then you have a chance to do the bedika by day. That's what we're going to have to clarify.
And or all.
Yeah. Then, let's say, in the worst case scenario, even by day on the 14th he didn't do bedika, then b'shas bir. Now let's assume that Shas Bir is midday. That's when you have to destroy the chametz. So right before you destroy the chametz, you still have an opportunity to do the bedika. So three possible time periods in which you could do the bedika. Says the Gemara, "Midikom Rabbi Yehuda bodkim or liar basar ubar basar shachris alma or urtu shmamina." At this point, the Gemara thinks that we have a clear cut proof from this brisa that the word "or" means lila. And that would support Rabbi Yehuda against Rav Huna. Meisvei, I'll ask you a question. Now, it would seem that this word Meisvei here is a question on the previous Shmamina, meaning I'm going to try to disprove your conclusion that Lila, that Or means Lila. Now, this is a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Psachim that establishes a minog that we abstain from halacha on erev Pesach. So when you implement or observe this minog of abstaining from halacha, at what point does that iser, that minog, again iser mishum minog, kick in? When does it begin? So it says the following: Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Mishas Ha'or. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishas HaNeitzacham. So according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, what it means is with daybreak on the 14th, even if the sun hasn't arisen yet, so all we have is, let's say, Amud HaShachar, they have the morning star, already we abstain from Moloch. Rabbi Yehuda says no. We don't start the Issa Malach until HaNeitzachama. So let's say between Shasa Or and HaNeitzachama, let's assume is like 72 minutes. I just throw out a number. So during that 72 minute period of time, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you already have to abstain from Malach to fulfill this Minog. Rabbi Yehuda says no. There's no Issa Malach, even Mishum Minog, until HaNeitzachama. So for example, if somebody wants to abstain from Malach earlier, so Rabbi Yehuda would say that's not meaningful at all. You know, that doesn't generate any minog.
What's menocha? You mean Shabbos menocha? Because otherwise, if that's true, how can you do Be'er Chametz?
Well, I wouldn't say Shabbos menocha. I would say there are two categories of menocha. But let's just read a few more lines, and then I'll come back to your question. Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov le Rabbi Yehuda. According to you, meaning our definition of Yom is Amud HaShachar, and now you're taking off a piece of the day and you're saying that piece of the day is Mutar Basias Malacha, and the day begins with HaNeitzachama. We never found anywhere in Halacha that the day begins with HaNeitzachama. You're cutting the day in half, not literally in half, but I mean you're excluding a segment of the day. So Rabbi Yehuda responds to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, "Hu atzmo yochiach." I'll give you a proof from the day of the 14th that we actually split the day into half. Shemiktosu mutar b'achilas chametz, u'miktosu also b'achilas chametz. That the day itself is split. The Isur chametz emerges with midday, so the morning is mutar b'achilas chametz. And after the sixth hour ends, midday, at that point is the inception of the Issur Chametz. So if you're already splitting the day into two parts as far as Isur Chametz is concerned, then you could go a step further and split the day into half as far as Isur Malach is concerned. So let's see what the Gemara wants to get out of this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Gemara says, Midika Omar Rabbi Yehuda, from the language of Rabbi Yehuda, Mishas HaNetzach Chama, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov comes to argue with him and begin the Isur Malacha earlier. Alma, what we see is that Ar, Dikamar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Urtahu, that he must be referring to Ar. When Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says Mishas HaAr, what he's talking about is nighttime. You know, the Gemara thinks at this point that we're looking at the 14th of Nisan as a 24-hour unit that's broken up into two parts, Laila and Yom. So at this point, the Gemara thinks that the beginning of the transition between Laila and Yom is Netzach Chama. And Rabbi Yehuda starts generates the Isur Malacha with day. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, the entire 24-hour unit of a day has to be included in the Isur Malacha, and therefore we have to start at night. Alma, what we see is that Or Dekomer Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Urtahi, it means that from the night, which begins the 14th of Nisan, we begin the Isur Malacha. So where it says, lo, my Or Amud HaShachar. That what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov meant by the word Or is with the rise of the morning star, which is before Netzach Chama, before sunrise. And the Gemara says, if that be the case, if we're talking about Alos HaShachar, Dika Amar Lei, what does Rabbi Eliezer say to Rabbi Yehuda, Hecha Matzini Yom Shem Iktsasa Mutar Vasiyas Malacha, Iktsasa Asa Vasiyas Malacha, Neima Iu Lenafshe, Ha'ika Laila Dika Shari, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov himself agrees that as far as Iktsasa Malacha, we have to split the day into two halves, right? Because at night, you're allowed to do Malacha. So again, the Gemara wants to prove that when Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that the time that kicks off the Isur Malacha is Shas HaOr, it means Laila, because otherwise Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is stuck in the same track, in the same trap that he accuses Rabbi Yehuda falling into, namely that you're splitting the day into two halves. Hachi Kamar. This is what Rabbi Eliezer meant to say. Bishleim Lididi. I can understand that the Chachamim can differentiate between Yom and Laila. That doesn't bother me. Ashkechana the Kapoli Rachmana ben Yom al Laila. And for this, we have to learn the laws of Tainus, that a fast day might begin in the day and the night is excluded from the fast day. So this is going to be the paradigm of splitting the day into two parts. However, according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, how can you start the Isur Malacha from an Netzach Chama, and then you take the day itself and splitting it into two parts? Because the day begins with Amud HaShachar. And for that we have to learn a sugya Masechta Megillah, that the Gemara defines there the day begins with Amud HaShachar. So again, let's just go over the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that it must be that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov prohibits Malach at night, and the word Or means night. Because otherwise he himself is guilty of the same crime of splitting the day into two parts. What's his name? The word Or refers to Amud HaShachar. And that's called day. And the halachic day begins with Amud HaShachar. And therefore Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is pointing out that the entire day is one entity, meaning Yom as opposed to Laila, is Asur Basiyas Malacha. And therefore you have to start the Isur Malacha from Amud HaShachar. What about cutting out the night? That's not a problem. Because to cut out the night... that we have already a precedent. Where we have a precedent to cut out the night and separate the night from the day, Tisnan Gabi Tainis Tzibur, Ad Mosei Ochel, Veshosa Shiala, Amud HaShachar, Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is very consistent. If we take his statement with regard to Tainis Tzibur, and we put it together with his statement with regard to Isur Malacha, day begins with Amud HaShachar, and therefore both as far as Tainis Tzibur, the Isur Achila, begins with Amud HaShachar day, and as far as the Isur Malacha on Erev Pesach, that Isur Malacha starts with day, meaning with Amud HaShachar, and therefore he attacks Rabbi Yehuda and says, how can you postpone the Isur Malacha until until Anes HaChama, then you've already cut off part of the day, day being the 12-hour unit of the day, from the Isa Malacha. We've never found anywhere a precedent to take the day and split it into two parts. Reb Shimon Omer, Ad Krus HaGever. In other words, Reb Shimon says that even earlier than Amud HaShachar, there is a period which engenders an Iser Achilun Shasiyah, meaning the Tainus begins with Krus HaGever. Now that's a very strange halacha, because usually in Hilchos Zmanim we split the day from the night, or we take the entire day, night and day as one unit. But where do we ever find that the day begins with Krus HaGever? It seems like there's a separate halacha in Rav Shimon that we're going to start the day of Tainus even before its day. So that has to be taken under advisement. But anyway, El Ledidach, here's the formulation of Rabbi Eliezer's objection to Rabbi Yehuda, according to you, that we don't start this malach until Hanetzachama. Heichi Ashkechani Yamama Gufe, where we find that we split the day in which part of the day, meaning from Amud HaShachar until Hanetz, that 72 period, belongs to night. And from Hanetz HaChama the day begins, the Polig Bei Rabbanu. Where do we find the Rabbanu made such a distinction? I'll prove that the day can be broken up into its parts from the Yisur Chavetz on Erev Pesach, who acts for Yochiyah, Shemiktsaso Muta Bachilas Chavetz, Umiktsaso Asur Bachilas Chavetz. Now again, keep in mind that Rabbi Yehuda is not giving a perfect analogy. It's not that I'm going to prove that there's a precedent in which the day begins at Hanetz HaChama. In the case of Achilas Chametz, the day begins with Chatzos Hayom, midday. But it doesn't matter. We've already established, according to review, the precedent for splitting up the day into its parts. If we're going to break up the day into its parts, we can even break up the day in which the first 72 minutes of the day, from Alos HaShachar and on, belong to Laila, and they're not included in Isur Malacha. And the day emerges, as far as Isur Malacha is concerned, with Hanetz HaChama. And therefore you, Rabbi Elias, you have no objection. We'd say we never found the precedent to splitting the day itself. Here's a case where we split the day itself. Okay then? So we'll stop here, and tomorrow Bulinetta we'll try to see how we can defend Rabbi Elias ben Yaakov against the counter argument of Rabbi Yehuda. So let's make a note of where we got up to. Okay, wish everyone a great day.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, all the best.
Look at Martin Ishol of the airlines of Russia 2, 4, 6. If you remember, this is Rabbi Yeshua. He said on the Tuesday, masculine, and he said whatever he said to you, he questioned him. And he asked him, are you saying that you asked? She yitpaled ala yishamim, b'chag. I didn't say that she prayed for the rain on the chag. Kegon, tein, tal, umatar. I didn't say tein, tal, umatar. That you must give tal, you, umatar, is rain. Enough to haskir, just to mention Shematfil haskir b'chag. You begin to remember or to mention on the chag Uroch shel makom, the power of the Almighty, Shemurid yishamim, that brings down geshem. Right? Onato in its season, Klomar Bismano in its time. Last Rashi, he came, if so, a mind for sex. Why does he stop the Pesach Mila Haskir? Why does he stop on Pesach to mention? Right? For sex, stop. No, for sex. In other words, if you look at the last part of the mission, the last part of the mission, it says, when do you start to mention it? But he said, Rishon, Erev Maskir, the second one is Maskir, and then at the end, on Pesach, it says, the first one mentioned that the last one does. So you work that out what that is. That's not mentioned here in the Rashi. And that is the mission, that is really a nice state. It's a nice state to work out. Now, I'm going to start some of the Gemara. We have to start some of the Gemara. Now, the Gemara's first question. You look, it's got a big deal there at the end of the line. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 12 lines from the top of the line. Gemara. Right? Gemara, give them there. Tana, 85. Where is intention? Anki, where it comes? Where is it established? Diketani me'emata. That was stated me'emata. Now let me explain something here. This is the thing. If you say me'emata and maskirim yurgur teshamim, so what does it imply? That there is an obligation. And the word is asking, Tana, statement, as you come, where is established, there's an obligation. You cut the food, the cart before the horse. The Tani Me'imata. Because you say Me'imata, I must think what you mean. There's an obligation in the first place. You say, when you mention it, hey, it's an obligation. You see more laws which are there than they come from. Right? As Jackie says, not fair. But that's part of the story. No. And where does he know this from? Because the same day asked the same question in the second report. But Aimatai is going to try the God says, that's not the Aimatai. Show me where the mitzvah is. So why don't we start at the end or with the detail? Tell me to the beginning. There's an obligation to show how we have a word in the verse. Why don't we start in the verse? But that's the way of the Mishnah to start and get you to ask questions and to go back and to. It's not cooking. Here's the obligation to say Shamim. Here's the pasuk. Here's the pasuk. That's what you do if you write an handbook for that. The Gemara is written all Babel, little Bas, all mixed up. Stop from this way. The reason is to begin and to see what happened. Anyway, the Gemara is Tana Hechita. Where was it established? The Tana Hechita. Now, I told that to you. Now, what do you see? The big thing of the Russian Tani Hekin Kas. Tani Hekin Kas, where is established? Suma. We need to tell it since it was stated. Me'ema Tai. Michelal. He follows. The sheet that made. It's obvious in the Rashi, Bishitele, it's Pashut. Lahai Tana, Lahai to this Tana, the Chayabim, that you're obligated, the Chayabim, the Haskir. If it is from when you mention it, so this Tana, it's obvious that you have an obligation. It sort of crosses over the obligation. Vehehi Chazina, where you see the Machayev Nahaski, that you're obligated to read, to mention. Now, those few words of the Gemara is a question on the Mishnah and Rashi explains it. Now, I'm going to do a little bit with you. First line of the Gemara, when I said you were here, second last words. Tana Hatam, it was learned over there. Tana was learned. Hatamka, Hatam, Hatam is over there, guys. Tikitani, that was stated. Maskirin Murot Bishamim. You mentioned Murot Bishamim, the power of the rain, Bitfiyat Ameti. Now this is in the second brachot. you mentioned Kiburot Neshamim, the Tower of the Rain, with Kriyat HaBeitim, in the blessing of the resurrection of the dead. Shoalim, and the host, the Rikas HaShanim, and we also pray in the blessing of the Yehovah Baruch Aleinu, and the Shana Azot, and then we say, and now, retain Tzal Kumata. That's the asking of the rain. The Havdalah, on Motzei Shabbos, and Motzei Chag, the Havdalah in Lavi, the Chonei Adam. Now, let's understand. Go to the Rashi of the Gemara, right, where it says, Gimel Mem, that line is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 like that. Atam Kain. Maskirin et Gevurot Geshamin, says Rashi. We mention the power of the rain, and that is in the second Rashi. In other words, I'm going to help you out here a little bit. We have a question, right? The Gemara asks, if he started with the Ema time, no, it is an obligation. With an obligation, it brings one source of evil. The second problem. Now, we know that the Gemara has got an order that you got to do. See, very much done, right? The first one is Manin. Israim. Israim is all about agricultural laws and stuff, so prophets, and it's all agricultural laws. And the second one is Moed, which is what we need now. All the best of the world, and the Gita, and kind of all.
The first one, the best one, is the main couple.
The Gita of the Gemara is saying, now this obligation is first mentioned to you in the second Brachot. And then it's connected in the next Seder of Tananit. So the text, the group in the Shoalim, the Shoel, your obligation. And now it goes and it's explained to you later in another whole Seder in the Seder of the West. And the Gemara doesn't like it. We'll see in a second. The Ketani of the Gemara line is 1, 2, 3, 4. Bukitani may aimatai maskirin gurut geshami. Right? Bukitani, and now it's learned, because we have the obligation there, we can mention gurut geshami. We can mention the power of the rain. Says the Gemara, velitne hatam. It's mentioned all the way in Brochus, it should have been mentioned there. This whole discussion should have been mentioned there, not yet. Maishna. What is the difference? The Shaftua. Shaftu is the letter. Adhaka. So here. And then it says Ela. But we can stop there. In other words, up to this point, I'm going to give you the broadest picture of the Gemara. The Gemara asks, and you're going to read it inside. Outside you can explain it easier, but inside it's going to tell you what the words are not put. Amatai presupposes an obligation. What is obligation? That's the case. This thing should be obligation. Why would you need to be obligation there? Why would you not hold?
Good morning.